You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Transgendered and genderqueer people can face a wide variety of health issues related to their gender and gender identity. These are often not well served in the healthcare community. And even the most basic healthcare visits, people can be exposed to stigma, misunderstanding, and discrimination. In Vancouver, a new grassroots project hopes to fill some of the gaps in health and wellness services for trans and gender diverse people. After three successful pilot clinics, the All Genders Wellness Center launched this month as a half-day drop-in clinic for gender diverse people. Finn is a trans guy who's just finished nursing school and who's involved in the All Genders Wellness Center, and he joins me this morning in the studio. Hello, Finn.
Hello.
Now, the clinic is called All Genders Wellness Center. Tell us about the range of people that the clinic's designed to serve.
This clinic is targeting anybody that identifies anywhere on the gender non-conforming spectrum, if you think of gender as a spectrum. So anybody that doesn't identify with the gender that they were assigned with at birth.
So that's a huge range of people then.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Anybody from that identifies as transgendered, genderqueer, butch, pangendered, no gender at all. So, huge range of people.
And I guess that's what you're trying to get at with the name of the clinic.
That's right. Yeah, that was a tough name to come up
with.
I
bet.
Yeah.
Now, in our society, there's a lot of misunderstanding and there's just a lot of plain ignorance about transgender issues and gender queerness. How does this get reflected in the medical system's treatment of gender diverse people?
Well, a lot of trans people experience discrimination and stigma from healthcare professionals themselves. So when they're in a vulnerable situation, like being sick or injured, and they go and try and access care, oftentimes the focus is taken off of them and their issue for the physician's curiosity or focus. So they're asked inappropriate questions that have to do with their gender identity when it's really a runny nose that they're in for. So that's a lot of what people are experiencing.
So even if you go in with something as simple as a flu, then the doctor just can't restrain themselves from asking questions?
And a lot of people also are refused care flat out because the doctor doesn't really know how to deal with them.
What would that look like? What have people told you?
Just basically that there's something else going on with the body and the doctor is just, not sure how to treat this patient. So and is upfront about that, but also refuses to help them in that situation.
I guess it's I'm kind of thinking about comments that I've heard about trans people, that it's very hard for people who do not have any issues with their gender, they're very comfortable saying I'm a man or a woman, to know how to even talk to somebody who is not identified in one of those two categories.
Right, yeah.
So that's the same kind of, discomfort maybe that the doctor is facing?
Yeah, I would say so for sure, yeah.
Okay. What kind of difficulties do people face in the healthcare system when they get involved in the process of transitioning?
There's very few services out there for trans folks to transition. And again, I think that's due to a lack of knowledge from the medical community. So, if somebody's living outside of Vancouver, and wants to transition, they might feel like they have to move into Vancouver because that's where the services are. Also, accessing their own GP, they just really don't know what to do with a trans person. So, either offers not really correct treatment or just refuses to help.
So. And that's a situation where you need a lot of medical advice, help. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to transition, you need to be involved in the medical system. Like, that's how you're going to get your medicine. So you do have to have a relationship with the medical system that's set up.
So there's a number of different processes involved.
It's very, very specific. There's a set of standards that people have to go through, a bunch of hoops that they have to jump through in order to get hormones or surgery. So, and it actually takes a long time. It's not just like a clinic you go to get a sex change. It's a very long process that takes years.
And you cannot do it without medical help, assuming.
Well, I mean, there are, black market or street hormones that you can get, but, it's not safe. And people, are desperate to get that. So.
Now, you are in the process. You just finished nursing school.
Mm-hmm, I did.
And you conducted some research as part of your nursing education with gender diverse people about their health needs. What did you find out?
I sent out a little survey, sort of a needs assessment, and I meant for it just to give myself a better picture about the needs for my community. So we found out that a lot of people are not accessing care at all. Or that they have been mistreated when trying to access care. And I think that's the biggest reason why we decided to come up with this clinic.
Before we go on to talk about the clinic, which I do want to do next, is I want to ask you, was it talked about at all in nursing school, the issues for
trans
queer people?
No, not at all. They talked about gay issues a bit. But oftentimes trans issues, trans and gender diversity gets lumped in with gay and lesbian and bi. But a lot of us don't identify as that, or we might, but that's kind of how we get lumped in. And the issues facing trans and genderqueer people are very different from those facing gay, lesbian, and bi folks. So I guess
that's really the only way to address some of the kind of issues that we were talking about earlier in terms of the kind of reaction you get from the medical profession is education.
Education, yeah, absolutely.
So it should be a part of the curriculum in nursing school, medical school.
Yeah, I really think trans-specific, genderqueer theory should be included in, and sensitivity training in med school for med students, nursing students, for physicians that are practicing currently. And nurses, care aides, nursing home staff, and even receptionists at clinics, because they're often the first point of contact for trans people. And, there's a lot of confusion around that. So, and that can be viewed as a gatekeeping position, receptionists who are making appointments and that. So, there needs to be a huge amount of education in the medical community.
When you go through that list, it really opens my eyes to how many places where I, as someone who identifies as a woman and is comfortable with that, don't face any kind of issue, and yet people who are trans queer do.
Right, absolutely. I mean, I'm a trans guy, and if I got injured, I would have a panic attack at the thought of having to go to emergency room and explain myself while I'm sick. What about when I get older and I need to go to a care home? There's no trans-specific care home or anything like that. There needs to be so much more education. Yeah.
And I guess people living in Vancouver, in a sense, they're better off than people living outside of an urban area.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, there are a few trans specialty clinics in Vancouver, but they only serve a specific catchment area. So if you live even in Burnaby or North Van, there's no specific services for you. So, yeah, so people often have to move and displace themselves and come into a new environment to get care.
Let's talk about the clinic. What's the clinic going to offer people?
Well, it's going to have a range of services, including general health care, primary and preventative health care, pelvic exams, chest exams, pre- and post-op support, hormone support. There's going to be free injection supplies and education for hormone injections. There's education, advocacy referrals, carry letters for people. Advocacy letters, STI, HIV testing. There's a one-to-one support worker, peer support worker, and also a registered massage therapist who kind of specialize in working with people who have bound their chests for a long time and that. So, yeah, it's a pretty multidisciplinary little team we got going.
Yeah, and yeah. Where are you operating out of?
We're operating out of an office space that was donated by a nonprofit organization. The address is 568 Seymour. And it's normally an office space, but they were donated an exam table. So it's kind of perfect. We just kind of transformed the whole space into a clinic area. And, you know, it's a low-barrier clinic. That's kind of what we're aiming for. So people can just walk in, and there's a sign-in sheet, and you just have to sign your first name and wait for your appointment. So,
do you have funding?
No, we have zero funding, and it's all volunteer-run. All the practitioners are volunteering and are also members of the community. So, yeah, we got a few small donations to pay for medical supplies and curtains and things like that. And at this time, there's no funding at all. And we're planning on maybe putting together a board and going for nonprofit status so that we can apply for some grants and things like that. But that's a lot of work and might take time.
So. Now, you have a website, allgenderswellness.com. What can people mm-hmm. find if they go there?
There's information on the intentions behind the clinic, information on what kind of services are offered. We actually have a bio page with each practitioner's picture and a little write-up about their intentions, their experience, why they're involved in this clinic. So you can actually go and look up the practitioner that you want to see and make sure that it's somebody that you can feel comfortable with. There's also a feedback page where we can get feedback from any community members who have attended the clinic or anyone who has any suggestions or ideas or questions. They can contact us directly through this feedback page. And finally, there's a calendar because we only operate once a month. We have a calendar that tells you what day and time each clinic is going to be, because right now it's just the first or second Saturday of each month. But it also, because we're volunteer run, not everybody can make it each Saturday. So there's a list of each practitioner that's going to be there each Saturday. So it's important if you want to, for example, see the massage therapist, then it's important to make sure that that person's going to be there that day that you head down. So
sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks.
I've been speaking with Finn about the All Genders Wellness Center, a new clinic being offered monthly in Vancouver. To find out more about it, there's all that information that Finn was just talking about at the website allgenderswellness.com.